I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This one's for you, Hugh.
I'm still a believer,
dog. You still are. Evidence, throw it out. Just believe. Well, we all hope you're right, Hugh. We hope this thing turns around.
No, I know we do. And I know a lot of times us as fans, we're based in logic. And, you know, I'm looking more so in projecting what I think potentially can happen by trying to read the locker room and things of that nature. And that's about it. But yeah, it's not trending in the right direction right now.
So I think, and I have to be honest about this, I think part of why I feel the way I feel today is an extension of last year. They just can't figure it out with this coach and this group. Because everyone's right. Like, they're 3-2 and they have the talent to get over 10 wins and make the playoffs. I mean, I gave you my playoff teams earlier. I think it's going to be Lions, Niners, Commanders, Falcons, Vikings, Packers, Bucks. I mean, the Eagles, like, they could win more games than the Buccaneers.
Yeah.
They could win more games than the Commanders and win the division. Like, they're not less talented than those teams. They're actually more. But it's just like I go back to last year at the end, this year so far, it's like a full year. They can't they don't look as good as they should look.
And this is the thing, Joe, because now we are in the part of the schedule. We what, week six?
So this is week seven because they had a bye. So
yeah,
this
we had week seven.
Their sixth game.
We're in the part of the schedule, and everybody's saying it. That's why when you hear other pundits saying, you know, you were talking about the quarterback, and we were talking about Marcus Spears and everything. Matter of fact, me and Marcus Spears going back on Twitter, back and forth on Twitter.
Is he having fun with you?
Yeah. He was like, you know, the truth will set me free, basically. But this is the time of year where you're supposed to start separating yourself. You're supposed to start looking like the team that you want to be. That's why I'm holding out hope. And again, I'm going to tell you flat out, it ain't going to be no middle ground with this Eagles team this weekend. It's going to be one or the other. Now, if I'm being honest with you, as I'm looking at you.
All right, hold on. Pull up a chair, everyone. It's like fireside chats with FDR
with
here.
You.
State of the Union.
Think they're gonna win. I'm hoping it looks good, but I'm thinking it might not. I'm just being
sounds like a safe bet to me.
No, I'm keeping it a bean.
It's waffling, Douglas.
No, I'm not waffling.
Wow.
I'm not waffling.
Let me write that one
because
down.
No, listen, Kyle. Give me a moment before you start bashing.
Non-committal, Douglas.
Put some syrup on that waffle.
Give me a moment. I believe they're gonna win. And I'm holding on to a win is a win. But it might not be as pretty as I would like it to
Wait,
be.
Wait, the team that hasn't won a game in a year by more than a score is going to struggle?
Okay. Okay, a little bit more reality, a little bit more transparency.
Mm-hmm.
Might not score in the first quarter. Might look a little disjointed. I would not be surprised.
Hold my heart.
I would not be surprised if – in the first quarter, we might be like, who is the coach in Tennessee? What are you doing?
Callahan.
Brian Callahan. Like, what you doing? But I think we're going to win.
Are we saying that towards Jalen or towards Nasirioni?
No, just in general.
Oh, so,
as an Eagles fan.
At the TV.
Like, what the bleep
what
are you
the,
doing?
Yeah.
It might be that. I'm hoping that it's not. But I'm preparing mentally and physically. I'm prepared for that.
You're physically
you know
preparing
what I mean?
For this
No,
week's
I'm just saying
game.
I'm preparing for that. You know, perfect example. Here's a bad analogy. Well, it's not a bad analogy because it's the fact. It's like when you take your kids somewhere. It's like, say, if you take them out for the first time, you're prepared for what potentially might happen.
You mean like to a restaurant or something?
Or somebody asks them a question that you don't know how they're going to answer. As a parent, you sit back and be like, oh, my God, how is he going to answer this? Or what is he going to do? Or she, what is she going to do? It's kind of like that. You're hoping for the best, but you're prepared for whatever comes out of their mouth.
I feel that. I remember when my kids were young, the first time we took them to restaurants, right? And you hope it won't be that
Man,
bad,
listen.
But then they take their macaroni and cheese and throw it to the other table, and it's like, you know, I probably shouldn't have done this.
Man,
this was
son,
a bad idea.
My son goes to school in Jersey. This young man embarrassed the hell out of me.
What did he do?
Because he told these folks that I don't even know. these good white people that I didn't feed him. He said, dog. So they're looking at me, right? And he told them.
He's looking for empathy from the crowd?
No, he's like.
Wait, he told his teachers or like the other
parents? He told his teachers. Because, Joe, and I told, remember I told you the story. I said, Harper, are you hungry? He said, I want a donut. I said, Harper, you're not eating donuts. I said, we'll get you a piece of fruit or something like that. But you're not eating a donut. You got to eat some real food. He said, I'm not hungry. So in my mind, he's not hungry. Joe, we go out there, man. He says, my dad didn't feed me. He didn't feed me all day. But he got a sandwich and he had a soda. And I'm like, wait a minute. You said you weren't hungry. But now they're looking at me like I'm the bad dad.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's not. I was like, and what can I say?
Well, you know what I found out here? I found out that Harper is petty, and that doesn't fall far from the tree. The apple does not fall far from the tree.
But you talk about
that pettiness right from
you. That's kind of how I feel with this team right now. I don't know what I'm about to get. So, yeah, that's kind of the life that I'm living right now.
To go off
but I'm
that
optimistic.
Analogy, they're not feeding us in the first quarter. We're starving here. Self in North Philly. What's up, Self?
Yo, man, what's going on, fellas? Let me see if I can help y'all understand Eagles one-on-one.
Okay.
And just so y'all know, I brought my daughter to the press conference.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So, you know what I mean? I don't want to hear nothing. Now, first of all, why can't he bring his children to the press conference? Like, we ain't never seen Steph Curry. Sell them, baby. Like, we ain't never seen Steph Curry bring his children up there. Like, stop.
Well, he can. He can. But that was not a great time to do it.
It's nitpicking, Joe. Stop. You know what I'm saying? Now, if the reporters were scared to ask him a question because his kid's up there, they shouldn't be reporters. Shouldn't have had a job. Now, let me help y'all understand Eagles 101.
Oh, Self a part of the old-ass daddy club, too.
I keep hearing callers say that the constants is Jalen and Sirianni. Well, guess what? Guess who else is a constant? Howard Roseman and Jeffrey Lurie. So if everything looked the same from last year and the year before with Steichen and them left, well, guess what? Maybe it ain't Sirianni because he ain't calling plays, right? Maybe it ain't Jalen because Jalen ain't the coordinator, right? It has to be coming from the top on what they want to see from the team. No one wants to talk about that, though, because they love their beloved Mr. His calling accountant, Howard Roseman, and their wannabe Jerry Jones owner, Jeffrey Lurie. Stop, man. Like, right now, we got to look at this team as, first of all, I love the passion, not emotion, that Sirianni is displaying. You know what I'm saying? And you know why that quarterback in Washington is so good? Because they have Jalen's quarterback coach. And if he would have been as Jalen's quarterback coach and not a coordinator,
you know
you
what?
Might
shut up.
Better Jalen. Kyle, you shut up. I'm trying to tell
Kyle's
y'all,
an
I'm
idiot.
Telling y'all some good stuff, man. Y'all ain't got to listen. But know that I told y'all, shout out to my homie, Will of God, DJ Chill Forever, my homie. Y'all have a good one.
Appreciate yourself. Now,
he hit us with the shout out.
He did it all. He brought the kid to the press conference. Now, here a couple
old
things.
Old-ass daddy club.
You guys are part of it.
Yeah, he's like, you know, the 50-plus. There's a bunch of us joining that club now.
Dude.
It's a bunch of old-ass dads.
Brian Johnson
old-ass dad
sucked.
His point at the end is probably right. If he had stayed here as the quarterback coach, because that Jalen played his best football when Brian Johnson was his quarterback coach.
Yeah, it's probably he said not. Didn't he say not the coordinator?
Yeah, I think he said that. The quarterback coach.
Yeah, it's quarterback coach.
I just can't take.
You know, here's
I can't
what we're doing now. Everyone's just got an agenda.
Can't
now.
Do it.
Self's agenda is obviously anti Howie Lurie, right? But we've established this for
kind
a while.
Been like that for
so
a
now
while.
He's defending Sirianni. He said he was just passionate. Lots of people are passionate about what they do for a living, and they don't yell at customers. I mean, what are we doing? There's got to be very few people out there that actually think what Sirianni did was appropriate. I mean, just very, very few.
No, it wasn't appropriate, but I look at it like this. It's not appropriate, but it's expected from a guy who's passionate. You get one. You always get one.
Do you get two?
You don't get, like, the second one, it all depends on how it happens. Like, if you turn around and I believe you could be passionate, but for him, it was over the top.
Of course it was.
It was a little over the top.
Passion's fine. Just don't misplace
because
where you're
directing
it.
Who was the Oklahoma State coach when he's like, I'm a man, I'm 40?
Mike Gundy.
Yeah, way back in the day, that was passion. And it was channeled in a way where, you know, but he meant what he said. He's a grown-ass man.
If I remember the story right, he was defending a player.
At the podium to the media.
Yeah, a player got ripped in a newspaper article, and he was basically saying this is the writer that wrote it is crap. This is crap.
I'm a man. I'm 40. Yeah.
Yeah, and that actually I thought was good. He was taking the arrows for the kid who was whatever he was, 19 years old. This is the head coach.
And let's put this in the context a little bit. He's taken a lot of arrows, probably more so than he probably needed to, because of some of the things he brought it on himself. I'm not making an excuse, because a lot of this heat, Coach Sirianni brought it on himself.
Of course he did.
By the way, he is at press conferences, by his demeanor after certain games, and let's just be honest. A lot of people didn't like him from the beginning, out the gate, they didn't like him.
And they won four games since the end of last November. I mean,
and he has moments, where, what I always say, Joe, he long talks too much and he gives you way too much information. He offers up way too much information.
Yeah, he brings a lot on himself.
Let's
grab Brian and Clifton Ice, then we'll let you hear what a current Eagle and a former said about the issues in the first quarter. Brian's up. What's up, Brian?
What's going on, guys? How you doing
today? What's up, B?
Good. Brian, what are you feeling?
What's up? I've been calling up saying this thing since the second half of the Super Bowl. Spags and Andy kind of figured out what the Eagles like to do best. You know, they like to go vertical, and Jalen likes to bootleg off the RPO to the right. So what did KC do in the second half? They brought their middle linebackers up. They left their left end, stayed home, and they had a two-deep safety. And then guess who they played the following year, the first week of the season? Bill Belichick.
Mm-hmm.
And what did he do? He did the same exact thing, and the Eagles were winning with better talent, but they had to grind out wins. And guess what? Week 10, week 11, Jalen Carter, Jordan Davis, they wore down. They were no longer effective. Hassan Reddick, who's a one-trick pony, kept getting caught inside. They bootlegged around the corner, and boom, that's coaching. now if you look at this year, you want to know how they could score? If Jalen Hurts goes under center, play action pass, they put number 11 in the slot, have a little slot over the middle right off the line of scrimmage. He's going 80 yards. Then they're up 7-0. Why won't they do that? Why can't Jalen throw the ball off the line of scrimmage, 1-2-step drop, from under center on a slant? Why can't he do
it? I don't know. And Brian, with that, and you alluded to it, all the throws are on the outsides, nothing over the middle. They've become predictable, Brian. And you're right. Spagnuolo saw it, and he shut him down in the second half. And Brian, we preached the phone call. Hugh, last year, Belichick week one, the Niners game, when they came here in December, it does feel like the Eagles' offense is predictable for the other team. Now, they have such good talent. Like, the Browns might have known a bomb to AJ's coming. They can't stop it, right? That's how good AJ is. And Jalen throws a nice deep ball. So they'll make a few plays each game, but there's no rhythm to it. Also, they get off to bad starts. Why? All right, Jason Kelce, this one. Let's go through some of this because, you can't really have two better voices that have been in the Eagles huddle and on the line forever, together for a lot of it, talking about this. So Jason Kelce this morning with The Morning Show.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Talking about why they get off to these slow starts. First, on the scripted plays and what he's seeing from this Eagles team right now.
They're scripted and they're designed for what they think you're going to get. And when you don't get that, it's like, hey, let's get off of this. Let's just go into our offense. And that's a tempo is like a very generic form of like, these are our like tried and true plays. Everyone knows them. Maybe we didn't even rep this play this week, but we've run it against everything 1,000 times. So we feel comfortable doing it.
So Kelce,
that's basically what it is.
Yeah.
Unscouted looks. Like everybody has unscouted looks. Everybody has that. And you have to work through that. It just doesn't feel like a lot of teams, like from my perspective, I remember a lot of times when we played and we were a blitzing team. They knew we were coming. So that sounds funny when I say it like that. But it's they knew we were bringing the heat. We were bringing it. And we would always get quick hitters, quick stuff that would hit us quick. because they wanted to get the ball out of the quarterback's hand. Yep. And we would say, hey, just play defense. It's going to slow it down. And sometimes they would move the ball on us, but we wouldn't give up points. So we would give up 3 points or something like that. But when you get into your offense, that's what he's talking about. But even with those quick hitters, they're designed to shock and awe. They're flash plays. Watching the game, doesn't feel like those are it. It feels like everything is, okay, we're taking the top off the defense. We're going for all the marbles right now. It's nothing that's ever quick. It's nothing that's ever bang, bang. It's always deep balls. It's always, you know, something down the field right away. It's never short intermediate passes.
Yeah, it's never easy and simple and just getting a rhythm. There's no rhythm to the offense. The offense is bombs to AJ. Hopefully, you know, Saquon breaks one. Or they do a mesh concept, and hopefully the two guys run into each other, and we get a Sunday. They didn't run into each other, but that worked again. That mesh has been their best play this year. The Goddard one in New Orleans, and then Sunday against the Browns with Devontae Smith. All right, another one from Kelsey. What can they do to fix this? How do you make it better? Maybe a little more tempo early on. Here's Kelsey. This
we did a lot and actually had a lot of success with Jalen and the offense before doing this, where you just like, hey, we need to spark a rhythm. We're going to go tempo early. And I think most of the time it works pretty well.
So, Kelsey, do you think
basically
that could
what
work?
I just said.
That's tempo?
That's basically what I – like, he says tempo. I'm saying quick hitters. Same thing. And that's how – a lot of times when you have a young quarterback, and I haven't seen Washington play a whole lot. I haven't. That's what I was about to ask. Anybody that has seen it, when you have a young quarterback, two things are his best friend. Well, the running game is his number one friend. You get the ball to the running back quickly, or you have him run plays that allow him to get some easy completions that gets him in a rhythm. It doesn't feel like we do that. And I understand people are probably in the car talking about, well, Hugh, we don't have a young quarterback. We don't, but you still have a quarterback that you want to try to get into a rhythm before you start pushing the ball down the field.
Of course.
It feels to me, watching the games, that we just come out and push the ball down the field. Because we got the two big receivers. There has to be, I look at football as a chess game in a sense. You run certain plays, and the perfect example of that is Peyton Manning and the Indianapolis Colts. Everything came off of that play action. Everything came off of the play action. Because you want to get certain looks, and you want to get the linebackers and secondary players to think it's one thing, and then it's something totally different. It's all about trying to get people to make mistakes.
Daniels is top 10 in time to throw.
Yeah.
He either throws it right away or he runs. He didn't sit there.
I remember being in practice, and Coach Parcells would say, hey, man, if it's not there in 3 seconds, throw it away. Live the play the next play.
Because you know the pass rush is coming.
Yeah, it's coming. Somebody's coming free. You should always, in your mind as a quarterback, in my opinion, you should always think, even if it's not the case, somebody's coming.
Yes, and well, that was the play where Jalen fumbled in Tampa Bay. He didn't realize someone was right behind him taking the ball away. All right, let's listen to Lane Johnson yesterday in the locker room. So remember, he said on Sunday the offense is constipated. So how do they fix the constipation? Let's hear from Lane Johnson here.
I think when we go back and look at our offense, you know, we waste a lot of time for the snap. We oftentimes snap it. The clock's really late. So we would like to get that fixed, have a sense of urgency. Now, we did run some tempo against the Browns, so that's worked in our favor. But I think the fast start is what he's talking about. If we can put some points up early, maybe we don't have to drag ass the rest of the game.
Why do you think you're late?
I mean, because we have been. We've gone back and watched the film. But it's just something that we've had in practice that we haven't done well. I mean, we've emphasized it over the past few weeks to pick it up. So it has increased. But, you know, a few weeks ago, we were damn near last in the league for us, you know, time before the ball snap. So, you know, something we've got to improve on.
So let me read this here. So Tim McManus of ESPN put that video up, right? The audio there we just played of Lane Johnson. And then, so we can all have our theories, okay? So Lane's saying they're slow to get the ball snapped. They're slow to get to the line and see the defense and get, like, just in slow motion, right? That's what Lane is telling us.
Mm-hmm.
So Tim McManus, ESPN, went around the locker room and asked players, well, why do you think this is happening, right? Like, Jelaine says you guys are slow to get to the line and get everything ready to go. Why? Here were the three keys to fixing, according to the players in the locker room. Number one, get the call in quicker. Okay, so then you wonder how that operation is going, right? Because is Sirianni involved? I'm thinking to myself as I listen to this. Is Sirianni getting on the headset with Kellen Moore and saying, well, what if we do this? I have that on my mind. So, okay, number one, get the call in quicker. Number two, more urgency from players to get lined up. A little pep in your step, everyone. But then number three, this is Tim McManus yesterday in the locker room. Identify defense and go. That part falls largely on the quarterback. So it feels like everyone's getting thrown on the bus here, if you think about it, right? You have the get the call in quicker as the coaches. Pep in your step is all the players moving faster. And then the last one is see what's out there and react. That's the quarterback.
You know what that kind of sounds like to me, too?
What's that?
It sounds to me a little bit, especially early in the game, is that they don't have a scripted 15. Like Andy Reid going into the game, they were the first 10, first 15, whatever you want to call it. Those were scripted plays. Those plays are being ran regardless of what you line up in.
So it seems like they're going up there and seeing what they're seeing and trying to figure it out?
They've listening to what's being said, that what it kind of sounds like. Because you're talking about you go up to the line and you've heard a lot of offensive linemen say, well, they come out in something we haven't seen. Doesn't matter. I'm in my script. I'm in control. I'm in the driver's seat.
You're
I got
dictating.
The football.
Yeah, you're dictating.
So I'm running what I want to run. I don't give a damn what you're running. I see it, but I'm still running my offense and because I have some quick hitters. I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 plays that I'm going to run in sequence because that's what I'm going to run. And most of the time, from my experience and my memory, is those plays happen fast. Those plays are being ran regardless to what defense we line up in. They're being ran. So what I'm understanding and what I'm hearing, if I'm hearing correctly, the players are saying they line up and they're trying to immediately identify what they're running. Most teams, we never did that. We were in a base defense. We ran a base defense coming out the gate. We didn't blitz a lot. We might have ran some stunts up front, but we weren't in our blitz package because we knew you weren't going to be into your offense.
It screams to me of a team unsure of itself, from the coaching to how the play is getting in, to the players not having conviction, to the quarterback taking too long to figure out what he's seeing.
It sounds like you don't have a plan. It sounds like there's not a plan going into the game. It sounds like, okay, I'm going to see what you about to do. What you about to do? Well, I'm going to wait and see what you're going to do.
And this is how you score 0 points in 5 games in the first quarter.
How much of that do we think is due to the loss of Jason Kelce up front?
That's a great point.
Like, now it's up to Jalen.
I don't think it's that.
Well, wait. If Kelce used to call it all out and now Jalen has to, there's that learning curve. And maybe it's just taken him. And look, this is it's in degrees. If it takes Jalen 3 more seconds, that's a lot in a game with a play clock.
That's more protection than play.
But it doesn't have to be both. He has to see what they're in, decide if. Because they run a lot of RPOs. It's decision-making plays.
But if I'm – I hear what you're saying, and I'm not saying that that's not the case. But if I'm running plays, in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to run a quick slant to AJ. Hey, I'm going to run a screen. I'm going to run a quick screen to Saquon Barkley. Hey, to get this going, I'm going to hand the ball off. That ain't that hard to do.
Yeah, you know, we keep asking ourselves rhetorically how a team with this much talent is 18th in the NFL in points per game. This whole thing sums it up. Like, they don't seem to know what they're doing. 215-592-9494. Coming up in a little bit, Hugh noticed something about Nick Sirianni at practice yesterday. We have to have him break down. And on the other side, Jalen Hurts asked about his involvement in the opening script. What did he have to say about that? We'll get to your phone calls. Are the Eagles a playoff team? Yes or no? You're feeling today as we enter Week 7 of the NFL. I don't think they are. Hugh does. We'll discuss the Midday Show. Sports Radio 94 WIP.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.